At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
The following is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network.
This is All Things Elite. Welcome back to All Things Elite. Load up the pod, man, it's on when we speak. Rich right here, let me warm it up for Austin and Floyd. Couldn't be no one but the boys. When it come to All Things Elite from the fan perspective, swear, man, it ain't no question. Hear from them first. Swear, man, they putting in the work. No, they had to get me for the verse. Social Suplex Network Zone. Hours at a time in your headphones. Austin and Floyd on the microphone. Backing out on a rant, getting in the zone. Pulling up the show, give it 7 stars, you already know. Who else could it be but the show with the proclivity for a positivity? I'm gone.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 265th episode of Social Suplex's podcast about AEW with a proclivity for positivity. Welcome to All Things Elite. My name is Austin Sumwitz. I am the host of this lovely show, back with my normal microphone situation, so you don't have to hear me through my dog shit phone speaker, so very glad to have that. Joining with me, as always, is my good buddy and friend, Mr. Floyd Johnson Jr., my man. How are you doing?
You're asking how I'm doing. It's January in the NFL. You know how I'm doing. Victorious. Mm. Now, I have been told this year that the best team in the NFL was in Detroit. And if you thought that, you, my friends, were lying to yourself. Boom.
This man literally told me before we started this podcast, you know, it's like I've held back so much and I didn't want to go at you like this. And now he just waits until, you know, we're on the podcast and we're in front of everybody to kick me while I'm down. You know, it's just,
dude, for 30 days,
I expect nothing less.
For 30 days, the face on my Facebook post was Jared Goff. People were so confused. They just know how hardcore of a Chiefs fan to me. Do you know how much that burned my soul? Every day that I had to look at Jared Goff's face as my profile picture, I hated one of my closest friends a little bit more.
Man.
So,
You shouldn't have taken the bet.
I've been holding this. And, oh, yeah, and I still tell people, they'd be like, you never bet on your team. I was like, I was bullied into it. Every week, you want to bet? You want to bet? You want to bet? And then I finally caved. And then I was reminded by Chris Jones, literally, like Travis Kelce getting hurt the day before the game in practice, why I do not bet on my team. It's stupid. Everything's going to go wrong, and it did.
That's not my fault.
It is your fault because you're a Lions fan, and it's like, you don't understand. I still hope, like, when we let the Bengals not get in the playoffs by losing to Detroit, I was like, good, because screw you, Bengals, because you beat us 3 years ago. I am petty when it comes to sports.
I guess so, man. Hey, listen. Floyd's got every reason to be happy. His team now has the pathway to the Super Bowl that he wanted. Because, I mean, look, man, there's a reason why he's been dogging on me right now about the fact that, you know, the Lions are out of the Super Bowl, unfortunately, because they lost the Commanders. It's because he doesn't have to face the Lions in the Super Bowl now. Now it's either Philly, a team they've beaten before in the Super Bowl, or Commanders, a rookie quarterback.
Dude.
Which provides a very good opportunity for the Chiefs to win as well. We were the hardest chance they had to defend their chance at a three-peat. No. And now that we got bounced first round, he's kissing his lucky stars.
All due respect to the Detroit Lions and Mr. Jared Goff. The biggest threat to us winning the Super Bowl is this Sunday at 5:30 Central Time. They've been the biggest threat all year. They were the biggest threat to us last year. It's this team. It's going to be fun. Yeah. I am looking forward to it. But
if you want to know, if you want to know what this is basically in wrestling terms, Floyd is the Bloodline and Josh Allen is Cody Rhodes, because we need Cody Rhodes to finish his fucking story.
You know what's the crazy part, right? If we win the Super Bowl this year, because of, you know, before the Super Bowl gets played next year, we will pretty much have the title as champions pretty much as long as Roman's reign.
Pretty much.
Yeah. As long as Roman's reign.
That's why this man wants it so bad, dude. He wants the three-peat so bad. And I told him, and as many people I'm sure that are friends with him have told him before, it's like, look, man, not this year. We can't take it this year.
Dude.
Not this year.
Dude, Fresh blood. I've hit up so many of my friends because, honestly, it's weird. Except the Lions, we go on a tour next year of playing. So we play J-Rose, Baltimore Ravens. We play my friend Chris's Philadelphia Eagles. My wife is a Dallas Cowboy fan. We actually play them in Dallas. So it's like, I'm probably going to go to more Chiefs games next year than ever. And next year, if we get this third one, I honestly won't care if we win or lose. I'm like, whatever. Once you get three and you break history and you break it, it's like after that, it's like, whatever. We're the greatest team ever if we hit three. Okay.
Pretty much it. So
no, but
Basically, we'll just leave it at this because Floyd's got every reason to be happy. I'm heartbroken. I lost both my coordinators. I lost my chance at a Super Bowl for the second year in a row. It sucks. But you know, we gotta get healthy. We gotta improve in the trenches, and we need Jared Goff not to turn the ball over so much. He had a very bad game, but he's still my quarterback. That's where I'm at right now with the Lions. Sucks. Just very, very sucky. I was supposed to cover the NFC Championship game this weekend. Not happening anymore. It's a shame.
So you can watch the AFC Championship game and see how a real team does it. I figured, you know, you my boy.
I'll just watch Jeff Jarrett cut a promo for 40 minutes. Yeah. That'll be a better use of my time.
You my boy. We family. And I was like, man, his team's out. He's going to root for my team. And then before we got on the call, he said, brother. He said, brother, man, I can't watch y'all do it again. And I was just like, and it hurt me. That hurt me. And I took that personally, like Michael Jordan. I am having great. I'm having a great week. I am looking like literally this feels like this period from last week to this Sunday is taking fucking forever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all I want is that game to start. All I want is the kickoff on. It's Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes. These are the games as a football fan. Let's just say you didn't give a... Your team, you just like football, or your team is terrible. These are the games that you don't, like, you rarely get, right?
Right.
Where you have, let's just say, top five quarterbacks. You have two top five quarterbacks going against each other. The number one seed versus number two seed rematch from last year's playoffs. Like
it's the top rivalry in the NFL, right?
Yeah,
it's basically the Mariah May Tony Storm of the year.
And they had us. They mean it's Buffalo in Buffalo last year. The story is written. One, two, and we kicked out, baby. We kicked out. We kicked out.
They always kick out at 2.99, dude. You got to go. You got to get them in the head. Make sure the bullet goes through the brain. You got to make sure you get the wooden crosses and your crucifixes. And, like, dude, it's vampire shit. You got to make sure the damn thing's dead. Stake in the heart.
Oh, and that's what I like. I don't think if Buffalo beats us Sunday, which I am very serious. I believe this is possible. Last year, I went into the game with 0% confidence that we were going to win that game, and we won it, right? This year, I'm probably at, like, 15% confidence, but that's literally it. I'm at 15% confidence, which generally all this year, it's been like, we're going to win. You know, like, last week, no sweat. We're going to win, right? We're going to beat Texas, whatever. This is the first game I've had in a very long time where it's just, like, in my head, it's like, we could lose this game. So, I don't know. This is like the big event. This is like Floyd Mayweather versus Manny Pacquiao. This is the main event of football. Like, I truly think whoever wins this game wins the Super Bowl.
I believe that as well. I honestly do. So
if you hear me talking about it, I am nervous. And I have not been nervous about a Chiefs game since the last time we played the Bills in the playoffs.
So. Correct, yes. You've been in the preseason this whole fucking time, my dude.
Yes, and this is it. This is the game. We played a one-game season. I've even made the argument, and people have said I was state that Reed, because I know, you know, you watch your team enough, you know the play calls we get, you know the runs we get, you know the schemes you get on a very low level. I am by no means an NFL expert. I just know my team. I feel like we have held back so much for this game.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, last week, we did not throw it to DeAndre Hopkins. I think he only got 2 targets for 0 catches. Mm-hmm. I just don't think it's going to be that way this year. I'm going to quit talking about it because literally, I could talk for 2 hours about a game that doesn't happen for 2 days.
I was just going to cut you off in this split
2 days that I don't play in have no effect on the results. Right. I'm just going to be sitting in my own praying.
Pretty much, man.
We
got a lot to get into, obviously, this week. First of all, we need to make an announcement real quick. Unfortunately, due to circumstances, we will not be doing an episode next week. We want to make that very clear from the jump right now.
Yeah, I would like to say it's unfortunate, but you're going to be on a wrestling boat, and I'm going to be at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, so we got some things going on.
It's not unfortunate. We are very happy to be skipping a week. You're going to be watching all the wrestling you can on the weekends. Hobnobbing, doing karaoke with Harley Cameron. you know, me, I'm going to be with my boy Tyler and his kid. We're going to meet the QB1 of the WWE. I don't call anybody else QB1. You know how I roll. But the QB1 of WWE, Mr. Cody Rhodes. I know this is the AEW podcast. Probably a sensitive name. I apologize. But I'm going to be having a good weekend. So, we're going to be having a good time. We're going to think of all of you. We're going to tell you about our times when we get back on the next show.
Oh, 1,000%.
But we are going to skip a week. It feels good because usually when we have to skip a week, we don't know until like when we're about to record the show. So there's never an announcement. Mm-hmm. We actually have forethought and we're like, okay, we know neither one of us is going to be available. I am going to be at Tyler's house sleeping and you're going to be sleeping in, where are y'all leaving out of? Is it Miami? Or
Miami, I believe.
Yeah, leaving out of Miami in the next morning. So it's going to be a good time. And you're going to have access to AEW, all the AEW action on the boat.
Yeah, we got fucking, we got Will Ospreay tweeting out recently about how he has to do a drunk spelling bee apparently on the cruise. And he's like, did I agree with this? What was the tweet that he said? Yeah, he said, hey, Jericho, I think there's may have been a mistake. It says, me and Al are hosting / taking part in a drunken spelling bee. I would like to say what a bad idea it is for me to be anywhere near that, seeing as I can't spell or read. I can drink, though, is what he said.
Yes. Will Ospreay is pretty cool.
I've heard he's a ride on the ship.
Yes, he is a ride on the ship. Like, all that energy you see in the ring, it's just him. It's like... And as excited as he is in the ring, it's almost like he's a toned-down version of himself in the ring. Like, it's crazy. So, you are going to have a great time. I even said it. You know, I was looking at it a few months ago. I didn't realize it was the same weekend. I was going to take a last minute and jump on the boat. But then I realized that it was the same weekend as the Royal Rumble, which I had already reserved for. So, that is definitely not happening. But, yep, no show next week. We'll have one, you know, week after.
Yeah, that's basically it for that. But we got a lot to get into, obviously, for this episode of All Things Elite. Before we get into the show, though, and we cover our review of Dynamite, we want to make sure you guys are downloading this fine show on YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you choose to listen to us on. Give us a share with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. Rate, review, subscribe so you don't miss a single episode of the show. And if you're so inclined, you can also follow us at AT Elite Pod on Twitter. You can also follow at Social Suplex, who make this show possible. Check out all the other shows they have on their network. I am at Austin Sumowitz, Szumowicz. Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. Now, the big news of the week is the ATE award results are up now. And we have an award. We have a prize to give out, actually, right now.
So we definitely announced the prize on the show. And I actually hit him up on email. We replied, it's all good. He's going to get the tickets. I asked him, could I use his name? But he didn't check his email. So I'm just going to stick with what I announced on the show. Because, like I said, I don't want to give out anybody's information that want their information out there. So, let's see. Where is it? There, award show. There it is. The winner was Little Jimmy, 979@gmail.com. Shout out to him. And like I said, I already reached out to him, which is cool. He's going to get the tickets. We're all good. He gets to go to the show for free. Which is amazing. I am very, very excited to hopefully meet him. I'm going to send him the tickets. He does not have to meet me, but it'd be cool if he met up in the show and get to meet him. Because I appreciate everybody having. We're going to have a few more categories that I was suggested by other people next year. So it'll probably be like 14 or 15 categories. And because I know I'm going to do it, it's going to basically be a living document all year as far as different people we're going to put in the award shows and all that kind of stuff. So I am very excited about that. So thank you for all that participated. We had a great turnout. Hopefully we get a bigger turnout next year.
Yeah, no, 1,000%. And again, thanks again for everyone who took part in this. Now, we're going to really quickly, though, I wanted to touch on AW Collision Maximum Carnage for a couple reasons, first of all. First thing I wanted to comment on was the opening match of Collision, which was the amazingly good Texas Death Match between Hangman Adam Page and Christopher Daniels. This was so good. Like, if you guys missed Collision, you should go back and watch this match. This was very, 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 very good because there was a barbed wire table spot, dude, which was awesome.
An uncomfortable amount of blood. It was great.
Oh, dude, they were bleeding like crazy.
Let me tell you, if you're blood sensitive, don't go back. But it was a very fun match. And you could only imagine if you're I forgot about the news. If you're going to go out and you're going to have a last match, this was as good a last match as any. Especially with you weren't calling it your last match before the match.
No, exactly. Yeah, so we'll touch on that when we get to it on Dynamite. So definitely watch that. Seeing the fact that we may be teasing Adam Cole and Daniel Garcia for the TNT Championship too, that little tease I liked with him flashing his TNT title at the Undisputed Kingdom after their match with Shane Taylor Promotions. I like that a lot from this show. Okada Ishii was damn solid, I thought. I thought it was solid. Harley Cameron continues to be like the queen of Collision at this point. They use her constantly. Thought it was all right, though. I thought it was an okay match, though.
I truly don't think any woman in AEW gets as much TV time as Harley Cameron.
Dude, they love her. They love her right now. She's like consistently, and I'll touch on it too, because she was on Dynamite this week too. But like, she's just been like constantly there and like always used. Like, she gets a ton of TV time right now, and obviously I love it because she's my girl. I love her so much. But yeah, so she had a pretty okay match with Julia Hart. I think her wrestling continues to get better day by day. And then I was like, the tag match at the end, the mega tag match, it's okay. That was about it. That's all I really had for that. But I really would point out, just like, if you're into hardcore matches and you missed Collision Maximum Carnage, go back and watch that match between Hangman and Daniels. Like, watch that big time.
Yes. I will say I am very very happy with the direction that they seem to be going with Will Hobbs. He got the big pin in that six-man match, and he looked really strong coming out on one leg, and it looks like he might be feuding with Chris Jericho for the ROH title. I don't know what way they're going, but it looks like it, and if you noticed, another thing I noticed from Collision, it looks like we kind of got a soft brand split.
I'm not going to bet, which I mean, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, because Undisputed Kingdom are really only showing up on Collision, right?
Mm-hmm.
You look at Learning Tree. You get that minute. You get the minute from Chris Jericho, and then they compete on Collision. So it looks like there's a soft brain split. And you saying stuff about the word soft is this, because I also felt like the Dynamite this week was a soft pivot. It was like, yeah, so no, but it looks like, and if you look on the site, you see Powerhouse Hobbs has not only a t-shirt, but he also had a tank top that they released, or muscle tee. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what the wife beater, whatever you want to call it. You got that on there, and then he was on the six-man match, was the match of Monday. So it looks like they're getting behind Will Hobbs right now.
Yeah, Hobbs, I love that. It feels like now that we're starting to see a little bit of gas underneath his tank.
Let me tell you, that man has worked out and earned and has improved to the point that he deserves it as far as the effort put in and everything. But I'm just going to take it. I'm going to take me a soft victory lap, because I have been calling for them to use Will Hobbs more.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I've been calling. So I'm like, I'm not saying someone listens to the show, but I'm also not saying someone listens to the show. You know what I mean?
No, for sure.
It's like they give him the boy his time, that grown-ass man. I'm just like, look at him. He is not the underdog in any fight that he's going to be in. Okay? Just look at him. So, no, I'm very happy for Will. He like I said, go watch, because I believe they're still up. Go watch AEW Dark, his debut in Jacksonville. His body. Then go look at his body on Wednesday.
That dude is drastic.
Yeah, look at his footwork and how he moved and everything in his first match. Look at it now. That dude has improved on another level. Him and Swerve, both dramatic, like, physical changes. And, like, Will Hobbs is someone you can use.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm all for the use of Will Hobbs, 1,000%. We're going to go ahead and get into AEW Dynamite, first of all, which opened up with Will Hobbs and Kenny Omega going face-to-face.
You meant Will Ospreay, like, and Kenny Omega.
Will Ospreay, yes.
Yeah, we had said Hobbs like 20 times.
We've been talking about Will Hobbs for so much.
Yeah.
Will Ospreay, the Aerial Assassin, and Kenny Omega going head-to-head on the mic. Ospreay talked about like how he was glad he's doing well and all that kind of stuff. He's like, I can't remember the last time we were in this ring and we weren't throwing punches at each other, but a lot has changed. And he was talking about how he's trying to stop the Don Callis family. You'd come back at a bad time because Mox has the world title hostage. I keep running into the Callis family. I'm trying to get that belt away from Mox, but I just can't do it on my own anymore. Omega cuts him off and said, do you not remember the last time we faced each other in a ring? It was at Forbidden Door. Not only did you drop me on my head and almost kill me, but you stabbed me in the head with a screwdriver, the same one Don used on me months before. Makes you no better than him, and you did it because you were trying to prove that you were just better than me. So I don't believe that you were better than me then. I don't believe you're better than me now. You've been number one this time, but now you've been number two this whole time, but now number one is standing right in front of you. If you're here to apologize and ask for my help, the answer is no way, bruv. You know, they get head-to-head and they're angry. Right as they're doing that, though, Don Callis comes out, calls them prima donnas. Omega chases after him, but that's when Takeshita and Kyle Fletcher come out, and they start beating up Omega. Will Ospreay comes to help out. That's when they're just brawling with each other all throughout the arena, fighting up towards the crowd in the grandstands, and Ospreay's jumping and throwing himself over off of the lighting rig, and they were just climbing on top of shit and just fucking putting it, double suplexing Lance Archer through a merchandise table. Absolute insanity to open up the show. It was very entertaining. Then after they dived off of the top of the stands and wiped out the Don Callis family, they climbed up the scaffolding, like, around the ring as the Don Callis family ran back up the ramp. And Omega screamed how, saw what you did to your boys? Don Callis, next time we get a chance, it'll be you we're putting 6 feet under. And speaking of down under, he goes, I have an idea. He said, Will, you want an apology? Maybe it was me who should have apologized. And he goes, what do you say? Let's restore the feeling in Australian Grand Slam. Will Ospreay, Kenny Omega versus Kyle Fletcher, and Konosuke Takeshita, let's go. They actually started playing his music before he could do his goodbye and goodnight, so he cuts off the music, says it. He goes, now play my music quickly because I am terrified of heights, as he slowly climbs his way off of the ramp.
And as he has jumped off heights all night, yeah. So that made it even funnier.
No, it's very funny. I will say, unbelievably entertaining. Obviously, the one thing is that, man, these guys made up quick. Like, holy shit. Like, they were, like, ready to kill each other 10 minutes ago, and then all of a sudden, hey, let's make up and let's be in a tag team. That was the only thing that I thought was kind of funny, was how quickly they made up. But I don't really care. You know, it was fun. It was a fun opening to Dynamite. It was very entertaining seeing everybody fight all over the place. Only other critique I would have, they need to film this shit better. Like, I need a better job of following the action. Like, that's just for me on a TV side of things, where it's like, there were points where we were, like, stuck on one camera, and I'm like, I need to know what the hell, because I know more shit's happening around that. I need to know what's going on. Like, I need better cuts in the production booth, and I need better camera shots. That's about it. Because other than that, this was absolutely such a fun opening to Dynamite. That was the only two complaints I had, though.
Dude, I love so much about this opening. This is one of the better openings. This is when I talk about, you know, like having two guys in the ring and start going. The reason I want it is because I think the first segment of Dynamite sets the standard for how whole good the show is going to be.
Yeah.
This is the best version of this start. You know what I mean? Like, I hate starting with in-ring promos and stuff, but this was the best version of this. You got action very quickly. You know they were going to make up. They didn't make it drag off to the next week. They like, boom, here's your match. Hey, Australia, here's your match for the show. You're going to get two of the best wrestlers ever, not just in the world currently, ever, against two wrestlers that by the time they're done could be considered the best ever. That's amazing. And Kenny didn't forget. Oh, my God. Wrestling tropes, and there are a lot of them, and I'm okay with most of them because wrestling has been wrestling since I started watching it. But, God, when people just forget everything someone has done bad to them, it annoys me. And Kenny Omega's like, no, bro, fuck you. And I was like, that's why you're one of the greatest ever, Kenny Omega. I don't care if they forgave each other 10 minutes later. He at least acknowledged.
I agree that much.
Yeah, he at least acknowledged that the last time they interacted, Will Ospreay was a punk-ass bitch. And he's like, hey, I'm not going to let you forget that you were a punk-ass bitch. Okay?
So, oh, okay, I'll give you that. And obviously, too, it's like Grand Slam is less than a month away. I understand that they couldn't, like, I would have liked them to at least wait a week for the makeup, but, you know, that's just me. But it was funny at the very least.
Let me add this part. I don't know if all of this was planned for the night. Because of winter issues in Atlanta, there were some people that couldn't make it to the show.
No,
so I imagine this might have been two segments over 2 weeks, and they're like, well, shit, we gotta, you know, put out this much time in the show. Maybe spread it out. I might be wrong. I could be like, this might have been exactly how they planned it and wrong. But you'll notice Will Ospreay was in street clothes, right?
Yeah.
Will Ospreay was in street clothes because his airline, which I'm not going to say the name because I'm not trying to disparage anybody, lost his luggage. That's why he was in street clothes. That's why he looked like he was just like, it looked like he was just walking around. It's like, oh, I got a wrestling show and go to. Because basically he had nothing else to wear. So there you go.
Yeah,
but I mean, all time opening segment of AEW. It set the pace. Like, to me, it's like, this is where I'm at. It's like, let's say this part happened, right? And then, you know, a couple other parts happened. And the show went off, you'd be like, man, that was a great show. But we got what we got in the main event. I actually, you know, didn't have as much problem as what I saw online, but we'll go from there.
Yeah, no. I mean, it was a great, I really, really, really liked how this started out, though. Like I said, I had critiques, but they're pretty minimum if we're being honest, though.
Yeah.
We had Jon Moxley and Wheeler Yuta and Marina Shafir, the Death Riders backstage, and They talked about how Cope went to sleep in 2011 and he woke up in 2025 in a world he doesn't understand, where the animals are meaner and smarter, and basically goes, "We'll be glad to throw your carcasses on the back of on the top of the pile."
Let's completely forget about that second WWE run. Yeah, that didn't happen.
You know, that never happened. That never happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never happened. Especially that greatest wrestling match of all time. That didn't happen.
Yes.
We know that.
Greatest wrestling match ever.
ever.
Yes.
God, that was such a terrible time. But he goes, well, Cope, maybe next time you go to the doctor, you'll get some bad news. Maybe it's a worst-case scenario. And in that case, I won't lose any sleep over it. I don't have time for relics of the past. There's too much to do. We're building a future. This was one of the better Moxley promos, I thought. I still didn't care.
I actually like this one. Again, I came around on a lot of stuff this show. I don't like the Death Rider storyline in general, but I understand we're going to have to get through it. I don't want them to just end it next week. That doesn't make any sense to me. Go ahead and finish it, even though I don't like it.
Yeah.
But in this case, he actually said something different and made a direct threat.
Yeah.
You know who his target was after this. I felt like a lot of times, maybe it's because I'm a simple wrestling fan that doesn't like subtlety. They didn't have direct people that they were going after. You know what I mean? It was like they just want to beat up the whole roster. Okay, I'm going after Cope now. Boom. Good. We have direction. I know which way we're going.
Yeah. No, I mean, at the very, like I said, it's one of his better ones, I will say, for sure. Because at least there was cohesive understanding with it for that most. We had then the AEW World Tag Team Championship match between Private Party and the Hurt Syndicate, Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin. Well, Floyd, I mean, we told them you made Private Party the tag champions. Now get them over.
They did not.
They did not.
And they just got squashed.
Yeah, there was not much of offense in this one for Private Party. Obviously, you know, the right team. I want to say this straight right now. Hurt Business were the right team to win this. Hurt Syndicate were the right team to win this match. 1,000%. They are over. The crowd is absolutely behind them. They are dominant. They are a great mountain for a team to overcome to win a tag team championship. They are the guys that you want to hold gold, and they absolutely have the look and the swagger of champions, 1,000%. It doesn't make the run of Private Party as tag team champions hurt any less, though, because how long were we waiting for this, guys? I mean, guys, the amount of times that we have to talk about they upset the Young Bucks in the inaugural tag team championship tournament. How many times are we going to reference that? How many times is that going to be the only thing of note that we have for Private Party? How many times is that going to be their one thing? This was supposed to be the time to finally get Private Party over as a staple of the tag division, as a staple, one of your, like, your tag team champions. Like, there's not that many people who have won those belts, if we're being honest. There's really not that many people who have won those belts. There's the Young Bucks, Sting and Darby, Ricky and Big Bill, FTR, the Guns, the Acclaimed, and Swerve Strickland and Keith Lee, and Jurassic Express, Lucha Bros, and Kenny Omega, Adam Page, SCU. That's, like, a good handful, I would say, but only a few of them are legitimate teams, too, let's be frank, too. But this was supposed to be it. And they held them for 84 days. Like, really?
It's not even how, like, they held them for 84 days.
Yeah.
They didn't do anything with them, you know? And it's just like, and it's so funny because this is a consensus. Hey, you can't get the AEW fan base to agree on fucking anything. The one thing is, we're happy going with the Hurt Syndicate was the right decision. How they treated Private Party in this title reign was terrible.
Correct.
That is the consensus. How often do you get a consensus in anything in wrestling?
Not very often.
That
not
is the consensus. In the AEW chat on social suplex, on my wrestling, like my little Facebook group, which is a whole bunch of different people other than that, consensus that these dudes got screwed. That is, and it's just like, and it had nothing to do with their talent, their ability to tell a story. It was their booking. They just, yep, like, hey, you want to borrow this title until we give it to the other team? And, mm-hmm, and like I said, how the Hurt Business won, I have no problem with that match. Because the Hurt Business has been booked as dominant. Bobby Lashley has beaten Swerve. This is how you do it. Bobby Lashley's first tag team title. This is your first step towards fixing the tag team division. But I don't think the tag team needs the division needs to be fixed. If you give Private Party their run, J-Ro, our boy Jason Robertson, pointed out something. He said, I had a feeling Private Party was losing when they didn't even do the normal entrance with Cheesecake. I didn't even think of that. I went to Ryback and I was like, they didn't. The boys didn't even get their full entrance. They was like, oh, go out there and lay down, boy. Go out there, lay down.
Dude, I mean, like, let's be frank here too, guys. I mean, like, you think about this. How many title defenses did Private Party have as tag team champions?
Two.
Successful title defenses.
Two.
One of which was on pay-per-view. One.
Yep.
And then how many title defenses did Big Bill and Ricky Starks have as tag team champions? Three. They had one more, and they held it for like 123 days. Like that's just slightly more, like not even that much more than Private Party did, and they still had more title defenses than Private Party had. Like,
yeah.
So. And that was a team that was supposed to be an AEW original, like the guys that Young Bucks put their names on. These guys, like, these guys are going to be huge. These guys are going to be this, that. And dude, it's just like, it hurts. Obviously, I feel bad for Mark and Zay. I hope they're able to find their way back to becoming tag team champions at some point. And I hope they can use this as momentum to try to build themselves back up. Because I do think they're a great team.
And you know what? And it's like, it's wrestling, so there's a story there.
There is.
There is a story. Like, we got to the titles. We got dominated. We got to come back. Like, yeah. If this was, like, honestly, older AEW, I'm like, okay, they squashed them. And what they're going to do, is over the next 4 or 5 months, Private Party's going to start winning. They're going to start acting more aggressive. Then maybe a Double or Nothing Private Party beats the Hurt Syndicate for the title. But honestly, I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think it'll happen either.
And it sucks because Zay and Quinn, look at the storylines they've been given. You know, like from the time, the Hardy Party, all that kind of stuff. They make it work and they give all their energy to it. I remember Zay got over for a while. You know, he sticks out into themselves. So I hope they use this as a way to get them back and, you know, like to go down and get back and, you know, and build up. And I hope they use the one thing you know about the Hurt Syndicate is they're going to get TV time. So you're at least going to see the tag team belts now. So that's good. Because Hurt Syndicate's on TV every week. And they're literally a hot, popular new act. I want everyone to know, and I want to make this clear for me and Austin, not very many times I speak to them, we have no problem with them being the champions.
I love them being champions.
I actually think it's the first step to fixing the tag division.
Correct.
Because you have the tag titles on people that aren't going to just be like, they're not just going to let you not put them on TV. They're not going to just not let you. They're a little older. They're a little more veteran. They're going to speak up. Yeah. And make the titles, like stronger and on the company or whatever. So I am all about them being the champions.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
Dude, I wish Private Party could have had a better run. I thought, I don't use deserve a lot because I think deserve is a myth. But
right.
They deserved a better run. I almost put the audio in before talking about this where we literally said, you've given them belts, now get them over. And yes. It was like they just put up a middle finger to that statement.
Yeah, they're like, no. We can't. What they told us was we can't get them over. We don't know how, so we're just going to take them off.
Dude.
I'm just like, okay.
Yes. Yeah.
So, yeah. But, again, very excited now to have the tag team titles on the Hurt Syndicate. I think it's huge. I think it's going to be very exciting. But, man, Private Party, you should have had more to do. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We then had an announcement.
Congrats to the Hurt Syndicate.
Congrats, 1,000%.
Yes.
We got confirmation that Mariah May and Toni Storm will be meeting face-to-face for the first time on Collision this Saturday. Shout out to Toni Storm's promo as well on Collision Maximum Carnage 2. That was fire. So there was a little video package on that, which I thought was great. Little quick backstage segment with Jeff Jarrett, and then he comes out after saying, you know, Karen Jarrett came out and said, last week you got down in the mud with MJF. That's not who you are anymore. And he's like, I got it, relax. And then he comes out, and we got another Jeff Jarrett with a microphone promo. Going into this real quick, this promo, he talks about fellow Tennessean, one of the greatest that he had. He was gathering his thoughts driving up here. He remembered of Jerry the King Lawler. He said, remember two guys who beat him. Jerry watched backstage. I threw some verbal jabs. I got back to my dressing room, and King got in my face and said, what the hell are you thinking? Don't get in the gutter with your opponent. He said, sometimes it's great to come back home and remember who you are, and MJF's, you're going to find out exactly who the last outlaw is, and we're going to settle this Southern style. No light, no camera. I'm going to take you out to the woodshed and beat your ass. You enough about that one-hit wonder. And he said, the fans inspired me to get into the Owen Hart Cup, and now you've given me a gift of this 57-year-old man believing in himself that he can become world champion. So he calls out Jon Moxley. Claudio then blindsides him and says, nobody gets to Moxley without getting through me first. And he said, stay out of our business. And Jeff then proceeded to get back up as Claudio walked out of the ring and said, you're going to have to kill me to stop me. Mox is my target. And then he challenged Claudio to beat his ass next week to get a world title shot. Claudio goes, beating you lifeless, an interesting proposition. I'll see you next week. So we have Jeff Jarrett versus Claudio next week to determine if Jeff Jarrett gets a AEW world title shot against Jon Moxley. So I'm going to go to Floyd first on his thoughts.
The beginning of the soft pivot.
Mm-hmm.
The MJF and Jeff Jarrett thing didn't work. People basically panned it 2 weeks in a row. Nobody really wants to see Jeff Jarrett and MJF fight right now. Maybe they do some more. They add some more heat to it. Nobody wants to see it. Right? Nobody wants to see the 15-minute segments between the two. All right. Let's get to the fucking chase. Jeff Jarrett wants a title shot. You got to go through Claudio to get a title shot. I felt like this episode, as a total episode, is the most dangerous the Death Riders have felt since they basically got together. Because, of course, it ended the same way, but they were anybody could get it through the whole show.
Right. You saw them going after multiple people.
Yes, and it was just like, this is the overwhelming force that we thought the Death Riders were going to be. All right? They're going after people that matter, you know? So they go after Jeff Jarrett, and it looks like they're pivoting away from MJF and Jeff Jarrett. Again, you may end up getting Jeff Jarrett and MJF one day, but it looks like it's not happening soon. You're clotting on Jeff Jarrett. I'm immediately excited for the match. There is immediate stakes. Jeff Jarrett beats Claudio, who's very beatable. He gets a title shot against Jon Moxley. Dude, I am so much better. I am... Dude, do I love this? No.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Oh. But I like it 20 times more than I like the Jeff Jarrett and MJF shit.
Yeah, no, so, this is an improvement, yes.
So if I'm going to bury, or if you're using that term, or say bad things about AEW, when they do something, when they try to adjust, I'm going to like it. Because what people present on the social media, and I wanted to address this, is they always address flipping the switch, pull the trigger, you know, all this stuff, these major changes. Most of the time when wrestling makes major drastic changes, it doesn't work out for the best.
Mm-hmm.
What they do is they pivot and they make it make sense over a few months till they build to it. Daniel Bryan in the Yes Movement or whatever happened over a couple months before WrestleMania. You know, like pivoting to Cody last year. They made it make sense over a couple months. So when you look at wrestling, drastic pivots generally don't work. It needs to happen. So this soft pivot away from Jeff Jarrett and MJF, that was the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm right there with you on that. I think it's obviously it's still not what I prefer, but it's better.
Yes.
We're making progress, I will say. It's not, I can't tell you how much better, because again, I've still never been into the Death Riders, but like the fact that multiple members of the group are causing havoc, I think, outside of just the one segment where they come in and they do their thing, I think improves the idea of this whole thing that they're these boogeymen that are running AEW and like doing whatever the hell they want. They're
trying to take over. It feels like a takeover now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. I will give you that. It feels more like a takeover for sure. So it'll be interesting to see that match next week. Also, I got to mention too, after Mariah May's promo that she a video package she had about Toni Storm, they had a backstage interview with Toni Storm about how she was excited and she thinks she's got this chance to go up against Mariah May and all that kind of stuff. And then Harley Cameron comes out and wishes her good luck in Australia at Grand Slam. And then Toni goes like, well, you know, why shouldn't you also be able to wrestle? You should be able to wrestle at Grand Slam too in Australia. And she goes, really? And then the two Aussies speak Aussie. Is what happens. Literally.
And I'm like, I caught Sheila and something about
a translation. I have a translation.
Something about a guitar.
Yes. I have a translation for you if you want me to read through the translation someone
please.
Made. Okay. So here's the translation after she said, really? The translation is, I know a lot of people thought you were a little bit of white trash, but mate, we put on a very good match for two women messing around in less than small swimwear. Don't you agree? And then when you grabbed a guitar, I thought, good on you. And then she goes, you know, only when I met you, I thought at first you were a bit strange, but truthfully, you had one very good show, and I thought, good on you. That's the type of woman I would share a beverage with, you know, if I wasn't a non-drinker. But no, friend, we'll see you in Australia, was the translation. So, but the Canadian in Renee Paquette had no idea what the fuck those two were saying.
Dude, they could have been talking. I know all the words that came out of their mouth were English, but no, I had nothing. I had nothing.
Yeah, I was dying. I was absolutely dying during this. We also had a quick little video hype package for Megan Bain too. So like there was a little bit of a hype package for her. So we're going to be seeing more of her very soon, I'm sure.
Yes, absolutely.
Yep. We then had Swerve Strickland versus AR Fox. Good match. Good match. Swerve continues to be just the gold standard, I think, for AEW.
I mean, yeah, he is he's the franchise. He's the flagship of AEW.
Yeah.
And he carries it around. His stuff matters whether he's in a title match or not.
Correct, yes. So Ricochet was trying to distract Swerve Strickland. Nana Ray chased him off. AR Fox nearly got an upset, thankfully, but was not the case, and he was able to get the victory. And then after the victory over AR Fox, Ricochet then appears on screen and goes, man, the risk you take when you think it's okay to bully people. He said, you will all have to be forced to listen to me because I got a lot to get off my chest. He goes, isn't that right, Nana? And he's got his scissors pinned against his neck, and he goes, I could gut you like a fish right now, but I need you to tell Swerve that while this may be his house, there's a new landlord in town and rent is due. So Ricochet starting to try to get a little bit more Swerve, and I'm like, I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying
this. This is the most, like, I've always thought Ricochet was an exceptional wrestler, but I always say it, his mic skills and his character work left something to be desired. They have let the pit bull off the leash in AEW, and he seems to be getting better every week.
And I think being against Swerve too and feuding with him, Swerve raises the level, I think, of everybody he works with. Truly, I think. I think that was the case with Hangman Page, and I think it's the case here with Ricochet. I think Swerve just raises the bar of what's expected and what you can do, I feel like. He's just such an elevator.
He's such a natural heel. And I can honestly say, and I want to make clear, I can't say I paid attention or knew Ricochet, his promos before he joined the WWE. So this man might have always been able to do this. I did not know. But, yeah, I gotta say, yeah, he is doing really well with it right now.
Oh, 1,000%. I was big time into that, and I'm excited for this feud. We had a New York Minute segment with Chris Jericho about how they were unable to take out Powerhouse Hobbs, and Big Bill was like, you know, we're going to, like, we learned from these things. And then Jericho's like, that's all you got to say? He's like, we lost, Bill, so what are you going to do about it? So Big Bill then says, you may have won the match. He can't beat me because I'm the biggest, baddest man in this entire company. He said, Saturday, Hobbs, I'm coming to find you. Y'all get big, meaty man slapping meat on Collision. So,
dude, if they don't do at least 3 meat segments, I'm going to be disappointed.
For real.
Because this is big, meaty man match. Like, this would be the first round of the big, meaty man slapping meat tournament. So I need them to give the crowd plenty of chances to yell meat.
Mm-hmm.
Which is all it comes down to. I mean, honestly, if you ever talk about why WWE is hot right now, and it's like, and I'm now, of course, not saying BWWE, but there are small things that you can take away from them. When you have something that fans are willing to chant, play to it, because it just makes everything feel bigger. Like, you're like, Jey Uso gets out there and throws 5,000 super kicks. But every time he hits a move, they go, yeet, yeet, and it just feels so much bigger. So when you go out there and then they go, meat, instead of yeet, meat, meat, plated at that shit, that whole match.
1,000%. 1,000%. We then, Floyd talked about the soft reset. This was the loudest of the resets, for sure. Yeah. MJF comes to the ring. And he tells Jeff Jarrett, you deserve to give every wrestling fan an apology after your actions last week, but if anyone deserves an apology more than anyone else, it's me. Because when I offered you to win the world title, as long as I was the first one to get a shot, I did so because I thought you were the easiest to beat. And Jeff, it's 2025, and you actually still think you're going to be the next world champion without my help. And that goes to show you're as senile as you look, but by the time Claudio's done beating your brains in, you will be senile. And he goes, I know if you think you grind hard enough, you'll earn more time, but I'm here to tell you the truth. Professional wrestling doesn't love you anymore. These fans don't even love you anymore, and you're about to find out. Sometimes you're better off making a deal with the devil instead of defying him. And that's when some cowboy shit happens as Hangman Adam Page comes out. He gets in the ring, in MJF's face, points at him to get out, and MJF's like, okay.
Okay.
He obliges, and he gets out of the ring. There's a jobber in the ring. Hangman makes quick work of him, and that's when he beats him down. And then after the match is over, he continues to beat him down, and he uses the Angel's Wings, Christopher Daniels' finish, as sending a message. And that's when CD walks out onto the ramp, and Hangman bolts towards him. And we're going to talk about that part next real quick, but I want to just say from the match and the intro and the promo from MJF, this was the biggest reset. They were like, okay, no one wants to see MJF feud with Jeff Jarrett. All right, let's have him feud with Hangman Page. Like, right there, that was the clearest moment of like, okay, what we did before was not working, and no one wanted to see it, and now Two stars colliding. Like, there we go.
I want to let AEW fans know this. I truly believe when there is a consensus, you can lead to change. And the consensus over the last 2 weeks, everybody I talked to, and I truly believe my ability to talk is vast with a lot of people that like a lot of different styles of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
No one wanted to see Jeff Jarrett and MJF. No one.
No one.
No one. And that is why they pivoted. Because fans were yelling this very loudly. We don't want to see this. So I just think, you know, it's funny because, you know, like I've always said, like, which fans do you listen to? You know, so some people are like, I want Hangman to win every time. I want Orange Cassidy to win every time. I want this person to win every time. It's like, which fans do you listen to? Well, guess what? When we have one voice, they fucking listen. Because they got rid of this shit this week, and it was amazing. Like, we still may get an MJF Jeff Jarrett match. It's just not this 6 week feud we got to live through.
Yeah, no, exactly. This is so much more interesting just from the jump.
Just like, them looking at each other. I'm like, I need this match.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's like huge, already very intriguing, and I'm super excited to see how it faces out. Getting back to when CD came out to the ramp, though, CD then has Hangman right into his face, and he's screaming at him already, and CD goes, listen, I don't want to fight you. I just wanted to be a friend to you. Every time I approached you, it was like pouring gasoline out of a fire, and I let my ego get in the way, and I regret that. And I'm going to regret that for the rest of my life, Adam, because after that Texas death match, my doctors have advised me to never wrestle again. And he goes, so I'm here to tell you face-to-face, I'm telling you right now, you win. You won the last match that I'll ever wrestle, so this is goodbye, and I'm sorry. I hope you can be happy now. And he walks away and leaves Hangman on the ramp, and he's not distraught, but he's more so just taken aback. There was even a moment someone caught too, like the moment after he said, my doctors have advised me to never wrestle again. There's a moment where Hangman even just under his breath kind of just went, what? Like this very slightly. There was a little bit of subtlety to it, which I liked. First of all, before I even get into this, the Hangman's thing there, Christopher Daniels, thank you. From the bottom of my heart as a wrestling fan and from the bottom of everybody who's been a wrestling fan for as long as they have been, this man has been part of pro wrestling for 2 decades. Ring of Honor and all the work that he did there. I mean, the Fallen Angel was a pinnacle of Ring of Honor in the area of the 2000s where they were just absolutely on fire. Christopher Daniels is... absolute legend.
Yes.
Met him multiple times. The nicest guy. And let's not forget, too, this man acted in the Waterworld stunt show at Universal Studios. This man is multi-talented.
So the thing about Fallen Angel, he's probably the person that I've seen wrestle probably in the most companies.
No, for real.
Because I saw him wrestle in Nashville, saw him at AEW, you know, like definitely saw him at ROH. But you think about it, the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels, everybody will remember the triple threat match with AJ Styles and Samoa Joe and TNA. He was Curry Man. I believe he wore the suicide costume at one point in time, I believe. You know, SCU, which in essence, him and Kazarian reignited their career. They were on a little down, so he reignited their career. And then they brought up Scorpio Sky with them, you know? And it was just like, and they made Scorpio Sky kind of a name. And then when it came down to, hey, we're going to win somebody the AEW tag team titles, he basically steps back and lets Scorpio take the spot. Maybe that was the plan from the beginning. I don't know. But he takes a step back. And you want to talk about, like, veterans focusing on the future and the young people in the audience. Christopher Daniels did. He retired. He had a retirement match. You know, it was a not so hidden secret that the Hangman match was his retirement match, and more. You know what? Tony Khan would have probably let him, you know, go out on a win if he wanted to. He would have picked somebody who could win. No, he used it to start Hangman turning back face from what it looked like.
What it looked like.
It's like, so he used that to get one of the young people back on the track. I'm like, I don't know everything about the back business. I don't know mostly anything about the business. But I've always heard one unanimous thing. Christopher Daniels is an excellent person.
Yes.
And every meet and greet I've met, he's always been the nicest. He's always seems willing to help other wrestlers. Shout out to Christopher Daniels. Amazing career. You know, and hey, you know what? He went out on his own terms. That was a match that literally he felt like he could have had 10 years before. He didn't look slow. He didn't look old. He just went out.
Yeah. And again, dude, it's like he has such a level of just consistent excellence, I think, in his entire career. And dude, it sucks to not be able to see him wrestle anymore. I wish him all the happiness and health and retirement. I'm sure he'll continue to be on AEW TV, though. But, you know,
yeah.
As terms of being a full-time wrestler, man, enjoy retirement. I saw his family already threw him a massive, massive party, which is awesome to see.
Lots of love from Frankie Kazarian, AJ.
Lots of love. Oh, absolutely.
And in his move, the best moonsault ever, his move, the only person I know, I mean, at that time that did the move, lives on through Jacob Fatu and Tiffany Stratton as the prettiest moonsault ever. His fingerprints are all over wrestling.
All
over wrestling. And he's a person that might be Arn Anderson. Even though we appreciate him now, 5-10 years from now, people are going to appreciate him even more.
Oh, God, yeah. His career is going to gracefully, it's going to improve with age, for sure, I think.
Yes.
And then Hangman, like I said, his performance in this bit was awesome. The way he was taken aback by a guy who they were best friends, and they were part of being the Elite before AEW and all the things they did together, and, you know, he was taken aback, and he was kind of just like holding himself a little bit, and then he sees the camera on him and he shoves it out of the way before he bolts off. So a little bit of a crack there in the fiery cold heart of Hangman Adam Page. And yes, a little slight change of him becoming a babyface. I'll always say it, dude, in terms of character work, I think Hangman's one of the best right now in the Elite, and I think it's him and Kenny Omega, and I think those two are just like so good. But Hangman, I think, is another level in terms of character work. Just like he knows what he wants to be, and he does it such a good job, dude. It's truly fun to see, and I'm excited to see his character continue to evolve as we get closer and closer to what I'm expecting to be the Elite reunion to take down the Death Riders.
Absolutely, let's go.
And then Renee Paquette is backstage with the TBS champion Mercedes Moné. You know, she just won another championship. I believe it was in Rev Pro, and she's like calls herself a global champion. She's gonna wrestle in Australia. She's excited to see who jumps on the Moné train next. And our girl Harley Cameron back at it again, and she challenges Mercedes Moné to a match
via song. Yes,
and she kills it as she does. Mercedes though was like, that's cute, and it's like, but I have to ask, though, it's like, you haven't won a match on AEW TV yet, so what makes you think you even get a chance to come after me? So she declines and thanks and respectfully goes, I say, now, like, going full Australia, and then she laughs at her, and then Harley's kind of a little bit like, oh, well. Okay, like, we said it before, we'll say it again, dude. Like, they love Harley Cameron. They love her. And I think, too, but I think we are starting to see, like, this is the jumping off point for Harley, I think. Because she's got fans who love her right here. I'm right here. My hand's up. I'm waving it around. But I think you're starting to see a little bit more of people being like, okay, hang on. Like, we've seen a lot of her. And her wrestling is getting better. That's the biggest thing. I think people are going to still be like, eh, and it's because AEW, they want their wrestling to be top tier. It's we're the best wrestle. That's what the company is branded on anyway. So I think that's the thing that people are going to really be holding on to, because everything else she's got, She's got the look. She's got the talk. She's got the ability to do a whole bunch of other things and just things that other people in the company don't do. She sings. She raps. She does all this stuff. She even does fucking ventriloquism. So she's got everything. I think once the hardcore fans like feel like she's reached a certain echelon in terms of her wrestling ability, I think that's when she'll really click. For me right now, though, I will tell you firmly, if you want to build towards a Harley Cameron championship run, whether it's the TBS title or the world championship, you should do it, because I think she has just gotten better and better and better. I went back and I watched, because obviously her stuff in QTV, like, well, we can forget about that.
No, I always thought she was the best part of QTV, though.
She was, but I still think that.
I mean, it was a terrible gimmick, but she was the best part.
But she was the best part. No, 1,000%. But the moment where she clicked, and me and Sydney were in the building for it, the moment where I felt like, you know, we've got something here actually a little bit, was when she was in the ring with the Acclaimed. They were booing her so loud, and she didn't flinch.
He is gay.
Yeah, that it was that spot. But then at the same time, too, as she was trying to cut her promo out, like, she was getting booed so loud that we could barely hear her, but she wasn't stammering. She wasn't taken aback by the crowd reaction. She was in it, and she was just, like, not fazed in the slightest.
She's as natural a performer as I've seen in wrestling ever.
Absolutely. No, I think that's a perfect way of putting it. So I think we're going to get to this point, too, and I think you can see the company really have a lot of faith behind her and stuff like that. And I do think Harley, because when they announce Harley's going to wrestle at Grand Slam, the reaction I think she gets in Australia is going to be massive.
Our Gold Coast girls. Gold Coast girls.
Tony Storm's going to get a huge one for sure, but I think people are going to be surprised at how big a reaction Harley gets in Australia, and I think that will only continue to kickstart her towards a championship run, and I think she is absolutely worthy of a chance to show what she can do when the stakes are at the highest. I'm rooting for her all the way, dude. I want her to succeed so much. I think she's outstanding. I think she's amazing. And I cannot wait to see her on the Jericho Cruise next week.
And you know what's so funny? It's becoming a consensus of the AEW fan base. Like, yes. I listened to one of the harshest critics of AEW possible, and even he sees it in Harley Cameron.
Who is that?
Joe Lanza from Voices of Wrestling.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He is just like, when I say harsh critics, I mean, if he thinks something's good, he's going to be like, it's amazing. If he sees something bad, he's going to bury the hell out of it. He even sees it in her. Everyone sees it, that Harley Cameron has that intangible it factor, and you have to take advantage of it.
Yeah, no, I think if you jump on this, I think it's going to be great for sure. We had a video package as well, I will say, before this match, Jamie Hayter and Julia Hart. This was afterwards. So first of all, Jamie Hayter goes one-on-one with Julia Hart was up next, and I thought this was really good as well. I thought this was a good match as well. Obviously, it was a little bit disappointing that this was the only women's match on the card, but we had women's wrestling.
Women were all through the show,
yeah, so that we didn't have to worry about that in terms of you know, just the representation and all that kind of stuff. But this was a good match. We've been waiting for Jamie Hayter and Julia Hart to go at each other, you know, with all the mind games that Julia's been playing on Jamie for quite some time. And I thought this was good, but not great, because I thought there was still something, like, held back a little bit. And it was true after what Jamie said after the match, too. Julia had the octopus hold on, which I thought was great. Jamie was able to get out of it, though. And eventually, though, it looked like she was going to get beat with the crucifix bomb, but she kicks out. Then the hate breaker and the haterade, and that was enough to pick up the victory for Jamie. And then she goes, I have heavy respect for women like you and what you do. You move to the beat of your own drum, no matter how, if you have a million people behind you, two big men standing behind you, if you're all alone right now, you're still a tough bitch. You win one, I win one, and when you want number three, you got it. So, confirmation that we're going to get the third between these two. And I like I said, this is a good match. I think there's more they can do. And I think if they give them a pay-per-view match, I'd be hyped for it. Because I think these two are really, really strong. The other thing, too, I did see somebody point this out, too. They did change the entrance for Julia from the house always wins to the heart always wins.
H-A-R-T. Okay, and their group, the House of Black, are going to be...
Yes, they're moving on with...
Yeah, and they're going to be referred to as the Hounds of Hell.
The Hounds of Hell, and they are no longer the House of Black. Because of Malakai Black, yeah. So now I will acquiesce that they are moving on from Malakai Black, because this is as clear as day that they are not having Malakai Black in the group anymore and that he's done with AEW. I acquiesce. I needed proof. I needed to believe it before I see it. This is the clearest proof of being like, guys, Malakai's not coming back. He's done.
Yeah, Malakai's not coming back. And, I mean, it's one of those things. As much as I like and respect Malakai Black, It never felt like they were always on the same page. I thought the entrance was amazing. Them as a trio was amazing, and he did well. I mean, like I've did this before, so there's no reason to do it again. I'm looking forward to what it looks like with just those three, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Yeah, we'll see where it goes from there. And again, I think the third time these two lock up, I think will be the best for sure.
Dude, I'm thinking it needs to be like a last woman standing match.
Yeah, there's got to be some sort of big gimmick towards the end to make it feel like the end.
And I'm hoping this is the pivot again of Jamie Hayter going back to the title picture.
Because, I agree.
Yeah, she's been kind of lowering towards the lower card.
I also think this kind of 70s look that she's got, or like the Scooby-Doo like outfit kind of look that she's got too. I just don't think people are taking to it as much. People love Jamie back with her old look, I feel like, but this new look she's got, I haven't seen a lot of people really take to it. I don't mind it, but I think it's more so just, we've been dying for Jamie to come back, and when she looked different than before, I think we're a little bit taken aback that, this is what she looks like.
And the big thing is, she had somebody with her that gave her a little more credibility, Mm-hmm. When you have the first hire in AEW, having your back, I'm not, like I say, I don't know what happened there. I don't pretend to know. I've heard rumors. But you know what?
And more and more and more and more and more rumors tried to come out about Britt Baker as well.
So I just learned, you don't believe rumors unless they're, unless you get clarification on it. But it's just one of those things. I mean, the act worked. And I'm just like, hey, I don't know the issues. I don't pretend to be like, hey, I can't speak or whatever. But that act worked. And if you somehow can put it behind you and get that act back together, which I seemingly doubt, because I feel like they would have if they could have, but if they could get that act back together, that act worked.
Yeah. Then we had Powerhouse Hobbs had some words for Big Bill, too. He said, "I'll be waiting for you in the parking lot," which made me think, are we getting a parking lot brawl match? Is that what we're getting?
I'm about to say, I don't even think we're going to get a match. I think this is going to be like a fight. It's going to be just, they're going to fight, and that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, for real. Then we had Cope going up against the Bastard Pack, so another instance of a member of the Death Riders at least stepping up and doing something solo. Like, this was an improvement, again, seeing the group kind of, spread out and cause havoc in their own ways, and, this was good. I thought this was a good match. A really strong match. I liked seeing Cope go up against Pac. I thought they really, really showed how strong that he can still wrestle too, just in case people for whatever reason didn't think so. In terms of this being the main event, I think this was a really strong finish to the show. Pac, of course, is just the best. Like, I love that dude and how he wrestles. He's just vicious and has such a way of carrying himself, I thought was great. The spear into Pac's back, I thought was great. And just going after the core and everything like that. And then eventually he has this like TKO cutter that he does. And Pac gets pinned by Cope. Huge win there for Cope for sure. But that's when the Death Riders came up on screen. And then that's when they had, they were on the big screen. Claudio hit the concerto on the Rock and Roll Express as FTR. They were taped up to chairs. And then they come down to the ring and they surround Cope. And that's when they start beating him up. Jay White comes to try to help out. And that's when they just continue to keep beating up on the guys. Low blow by Wheeler Yuta on Jay. They stomped on Switchblade, choked out Copeland, and he was just kind of like struggled a little bit. And again, this seemed like a reset. Like I said, this felt like people were like, hey, this is how dangerous this group is. This is how you need to take these guys seriously. This is what they do. They cause havoc. They cause mayhem, not just in the storyline that they're involved with, but in every facet of AEW. The brutality was good. Setting up Moxley versus, obviously, Cope at Grand Slam, I think, will be exciting. I still don't like the group. I still am not fully into it yet, but I will say this was a good reset. I think this is a good way of trying to get people to remember like the thesis of the group at least a little bit. But yeah, and they really wanted to go after obviously Cope's neck. That was a big focus of it too. That was a big focus, which I thought was really, really good as well. The brutalizers that he Pac hit two brutalizers on Cope too, and like was basically trying to make it so you're not going to move your neck, period, after this match. And again, they choked him out afterwards too. So the going after Cope's neck, I think throughout the entire part of this segment match, the match and the aftermath, I thought was really, really good too, just to continue to show their viciousness.
Absolutely. I love this episode of Dynamite.
It was so much better.
And like I said, it's just, dude, you know, the guy that got rid of what we didn't like, and you think about it, you say it that simple, but that's what they did, and they started focusing on other stuff, and now we're going to be building to something, and now we know, you know, we may get Jeff Jarrett versus Mike, which we may get Cope versus Mox, but everybody's heading towards Mox, which is the goal. I like it. I like this episode. I thought this was a solid episode, very much an improvement on the previous 2 weeks.
Yeah, no, we needed an episode like this in a big way, dude. I think this was great to see, genuinely. I really, really enjoyed this episode. I thought there was a lot of really good stuff. I thought this was a good way to close out.
And J-Ro did ask one question. Where the hell was Jeff Jarrett at the end of the show?
Nowhere.
He had already got jumped by Claudio. You'd think he'd want to come get some get back, but you know,
He's like, you know what? I'm a wait for my get back.
Yeah, he's old. It takes a while to heal. Okay, whatever.
A little bit. Yeah. But that was AEW Dynamite from this week. We have, we'll go ahead and real quickly talk about what we've got coming up for Collision. First things first, obviously, we're going to have Konosuke Takeshita. This is Homecoming Collision as well, so they're going to be back at Daly's Place. Konosuke Takeshita is going to be defending his international championship against Katsuyori Shibata. So we've got that match to look forward to. And then in terms of other Collision matches, we're also going to have a match between Gates of Agony versus Brody King and Buddy Matthews. So that's going to be that match as well on Dynamite, on Collision. And then we're going to have the face-to-face between Toni Storm and Mariah May, which I'm so fucking excited for. If you're going to watch the show for any reason, you're going to watch it for that, 1,000%. And then we're going to have a trios match between the Undisputed Kingdom, Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, and Roderick Strong, versus Daniel Garcia, Daddy Magic, and Cool Hand Ange. So I believe that's everything we have announced for Collision, though, moving forward.
So you're looking at it, and let me say this. I want to say a few things about what we have announced. So if you're adding Brody King and Buddy Matthews to the tag team division, right, and then you got the Gates of Agony, then you have Private Party, then you have Top Flight, and then you have, and then that's not even talking about, Brian Cage and Lance Archer. It looks like we're getting back to a tag division. Now, I'm going to say this, and this is something that was explained to me by an outsider. Like somebody's like, He's like, so they lost Rampage, so they lost the hour of TV, right? So you now you got 2 hours of Dynamite, 2 hours of Collision, which should be manageable. But in that 2 hours, you got people like my weird ass that want you to focus on the tag team division, right?
Yep.
You got your main event division. You got like four singles titles, right?
You got the women's division.
And then I feel, at least two women's matches a show.
At least.
That starts cutting down on time. So it's like I'm starting to realize, like starting to accept how difficult it might be to get everybody on TV and to focus on everything. But guess what? That's the booker's doubt. You know what I mean? Yep. It sucks. Don't get me wrong. Like, hey, it feels like, to use a football reference, well, Patrick Mahomes is smart, fast. He, you know, if you get anywhere near him, you're going to get a 15-yard problem. Like, what do we do? Like, well, you're the football coach. That's your fucking problem. I'm sorry. It's not my job to come up with the answer. It's your job.
Right.
It's your job to figure out how to entertain. But I am more of accepting of how hard it can be to try to make. Because your goal is to get to everyone in your fan base to at least be like 60 to 80% happy.
Right.
Yes. But if you get those people that their happiness is only dependent on one act or one person or whatever, yeah, it is a lot of, it's a zero sum. Like, you're either going to make them happy or you're not. So it was just something that hit me earlier today. It's just like, dude, you got 4 hours. And it's like, you got to get this person over. You got to get this person over. You got to focus on this. You got to focus on this. It's hard. It's hard. And we want quality matches, too. So, So, yeah, it sucks. But yeah, that's kind of, hey, it's what you signed up for, right? Like, so now it sucks, but it is what it is. But yeah, I'm very excited. Like I said, my particular thing is the tag division. I would almost be okay with them focusing the tag division on just one of the shows, right?
It just wouldn't be like, bad, worst thing in the world.
Yeah, like Collision is the home of the tag team titles, or Dynamite's the home of the tag team titles. So on the other,
they seem to already be doing it with the TNT championship because
Daniel Garcia seems to only defend it on Collision, and I just think, you know, it's smart. And you know what? You know, can we see the trios titles? I'm like, I don't necessarily need them. I don't necessarily need them defended every week. Can we see them?
No, yeah,
No. I like I said, impressive episode, great episode. It felt like this was a true bounce back episode. I felt like, I always say 80-20. I felt like this episode was a 95-5 for me.
I would echo that as well. Yeah. And then the only things I have was Will Ospreay versus Brian Cage was announced for next week's Dynamite as well. Yeah. And then we also have Jeff Jarrett, of course, versus Claudio Castagnoli, with Jeff getting a world title shot if he gets the win. That's next week as well. And then Swerve Strickland versus Ricochet will be on the February 5th episode of Dynamite. So in 2 weeks, we're getting Swerve versus Ricochet on Dynamite. So and that has been announced as well. That was announced today on social media.
Yes, and like I know they've moved down to the 2,500 seat arenas, but they look like they're all been mostly sellouts. By like when I say sellout, they sold 95% of the tickets. So that's another great sign. You know what I mean? It's like,
again,
you know, and the crowd seem active.
Yeah, exactly. We want loud crowds of AEW fans. And if the crowds are in smaller arenas or whatever. Like, yes. I want the building to be full, and I want the crowd to be loud. If that's where we're at right now, dude, that's...
Yes. For my viewing experience, I'd rather have 2,500 people making noise than 10,000 people sitting on their hands and looking at their phones.
There you go. I think that's the perfect way to close it out. There's one last piece of news that we do need to touch on, and it's, folks, you want to meet the Icon, you better meet him now.
Yes, from Sting's Twitter, I've enjoyed meeting fans at events around the world. As much as I've loved interacting with you all in the traditional Stinger war paint, I decided that 2025 will be my last year appearing in full gear. I guess it's 2025 or never. Wow, tough to speak that now out. So he's not saying he's done doing meet and greets. He's just saying if you want to meet him as his versions of Sting, this is the year to do it.
Yes.
So definitely, I imagine his schedules have been everywhere. He's going to be at WrestleCon in Indianapolis next week. But I think the big one, if you're going to, and if you're going to be in the area, use it, make a weekend out of it. When StarCast is announced, sign up, get your bracelets for StarCast. And get your bracelets for StarCast and meet Sting while he's there. I'm telling you now, if you know, I'm just like warning you, I am a collector. I am not a seller. I don't really sell any of my shit. Yeah. But when you see me with a wagon going up to Sting and all in, I promise I'm not selling any of it. Oh, it is just all the stuff I've collected over the last like 4 years, because he debuted at Winter is Coming in 20. And I was there. So like, yeah, it's going to be literally all the stuff I've collected over all those years, all the Sting figures. I'm going to try to knock it out in one fell swoop, so I ain't got to do it again. You know what I mean? So.
Right. No, exactly. So, but that, I think, will close it out on this episode of All Things Elite, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode. We appreciate the support. If you enjoy the show, continue to support it by downloading it on YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you choose to listen to the show. We appreciate it, and we would also appreciate if you would give us a share with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish, and rate, review, subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. Follow us on Twitter. You can follow us at ATElitePod, at Social Suplex to the guys that make this show possible. Check out all the other shows they have on their network. I am at Austin Sumowicz, Sumowicz. Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. And then, Floyd, can you also share the blue sky of our podcast too, so people can follow it there?
Just like the Twitter is at is AT Elite Pod on the blue sky.
Yeah. So if you don't want to be on Twitter, which we understand, and if you hate that guy, you know what guy, and you don't want to use his shit, you can follow us on Blue Sky as well. So just want to let you know. That is going to do it though for this episode. I'm going to pass it off to our buddy Floyd so he can take us home on this episode of All Things Elite. We will see you guys in 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's all about one thing for me this week. It's about the Kansas City Chiefs. So for your boy, root against my team. I want you to root against my team. I love being a villain. I want to ruin your day Sunday. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm not kidding. I really do just want the Chiefs to win. But no, that's all it's about for me. It's like, this is WrestleMania in football for me. I honestly think we're going to whoop who's ever ass is in the Super Bowl. So this Buffalo game means everything to me. I know, football. But, I hope all of you have a great weekend. I hope everyone enjoys it. And, you know, try to put the positive vibes out to your friends and your family. Give them the positive energy. Just, you know, be good to everyone in your life. And just know, you probably already quit on your New Year's resolutions. Statistically, most people quit on their New Year's resolutions. But remember, it is only January 24th. It is 365 days in a year. You have 341 days to still finish that resolution. You have not failed until January 1st, 2026. So keep at it, and I'll leave you how I always leave you. Whether it is home, work, or school, always do your best to be elite.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in / promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.